Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going? Welcome to Voices from the Grid edition. I'm your host for this episode, the Pink Ranger, Brian Massey. And today I am joined by...
one, the only, the ever-snarky, Sasha Kaplan, your eternal Red Ranger.
How you doing tonight, Sasha?
I'm pretty good hanging in there. You know, it's cold, but at the recording of this episode, it is cold and it is December. So I'm wearing like fuzzy socks. I'm under a blanket. Like I'm ready for winter to be over. And it's only December.
Me too. I am wearing fleece pants and I have slippers on and I am still freezing.
Yep. Sounds about right.
So today we're going to be talking about two episodes. We're going to be talking about the In Space episodes, Astronomer Thinks Twice, and The Ranger's Leap of Faith. And of course, I'm also going to be bringing you one of our newer segments, Meanwhile in the Sentai. Sasha's going to love. So, yay, I can already hear your eyes glazing over.
I'm happy for you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. So yeah, we're going to talk about, it's episode 27 and 28, respectively, of the In Space episode. And then, of course, Denti Sentai Mega Ranger when we get to it. But let's go ahead and start with a synopsis for Astronomer Thinks Twice. Now, this is the second of the five-part story arc where Astronomer turns good and joins the Rangers. And the summary goes, with the revelation that she was once Corone, Andros' long-lost sister, Astronomer wonders whether or not she should continue to be evil. She meets with Andros on KO-35 to talk about it, but has trouble believing his claims, unleashing the spiky monster upon him. Meanwhile, the rivalry between Ecliptor and Arcana heats up. Now, my first question for you is this. What do you make of the hatred between Darkonda and Ecliptor? I personally find it to be one of the more interesting and engaging conflicts in the series, Darkonda being a vile, corrupt villain who has his own golden agenda, and Ecliptor, who, while on the side of evil, genuinely cares for Astronomer and will do anything to protect her, even if it means fighting a fellow villain, whom, by the way, I do not think Ecliptor would even count amongst his ranks.
So you're absolutely right on all accounts in terms of the dynamic. I think it's really interesting because Darkonda, I haven't quite reached the in-between episodes because, as you guys know, we record these out of order. But from what I remember, and I remember In Space better than Mighty Morphin, that's for sure, Darkonda was kind of like a wannabe. Like, he really is, like, gives a mercenary vibe. He works for the highest bidder. But he really, really wants to get in with, you know, Big Daddy Dark Spectre. And it's kind of pathetic because at the end of the day, he's actually really jealous of the fact that Dark Spectre plays favorites. And right now his favorite is Astronomer.
Yeah.
And Astronomer's biggest ally, her right hand, is Ecliptor, who we find out raised her since she was kidnapped by Darkonda. So it's interesting that they have this dynamic and they both have this connection to Dark Spectre, but also to Astronomer. Since, as we know now, it was Darkonda who kidnapped Astronomer from KO-35. So...
which, if I can add real fast, just as a, to, not to digress too much, but, like, it is kind of interesting because you do see, like, at the beginning of the series, you see Astronomer with Ecliptor all the time, and you get the feeling that it must have been Ecliptor that kidnapped her. So it's a really nice swerve, I think.
And well, speaking of swerving, there's a lot of that going on in these next in these two episodes, especially in the second one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Ecliptor is like pretty content in where he is in the evil hierarchy. He's happy supporting Astronomer and helping her, you know, do what the League of Super Evil does. And, you know, take over the universe. But as you said, for a stone cold monster. Or being whose face never actually shows any emotion, like his mouth doesn't even move, at least Darkonda's mouth moves. He has a lot of emotion in these two episodes.
He has some big feelings.
Like, props to the voiceover artist for Ecliptor. Ecliptor to this day is one of my absolute favorite characters. And it and not necessarily a favorite villain, but just favorite character because he has so many layers that I wish we could spend so much more time exploring, but that's the fight between Dark Spectre and Ecliptor is really well done. It doesn't feel like a typical monster fight because they're using swords and stuff. Like, it was really different, and I really appreciated that.
And while I do know that there is some Sentai footage, and no, I'm not getting into that just yet, I think a good majority of fight footage, at least in this episode, is American, and it's really good. And like I said, it's one of my favorite like dynamics or like rivalries so far that we've gotten to in the series. I think it's
So,
just really well done.
Brian, without getting too much into the Sentai part of it, the part where Ecliptor and Darkonda fuse together, was that in the Sentai or is that American footage?
That is Sentai footage.
Okay.
Now I do think they brought over the suit to maybe film additional scenes, but yes, that is Sentai footage.
Okay, so then maybe this is a good time for like I can't believe I'm saying this, a Sentai interlude, because they fuse, but it like. I said, oh God, Ecliptor and Darkonda fuse together, all caps. Oh, it doesn't last long. Good. So, do you know what the plot story of that was in the Sentai? Like, who were these characters and why did they fuse together? And was that like a bigger thing?
So, ironically enough, I don't think now that I've notes because I took notes, I don't think that this particular footage of Dark Clipter is in the Sentai, and I'll tell you why. Because in meanwhile in the Sentai, I've summarized the story for you, which is episode 45, Tenacious! Exclamation mark. Heinlar's counterattack. Way the lead villain for Denji Sentai Mega Ranger is Dr. Heinlar, and fun fact, if you look him up and you look at his hair, you suddenly realize why the Psycho Rangers have those horns on the side of their heads because it's very similar. And it's not really explained in the Sentai or sorry, Power Rangers, but it is kind of one of those design quirks that left over and they just kind of ignored. Anyways, the Sentai synopsis is, as Kenta, the Red Ranger, begins to worry about surviving his last exams, Dr. Heinler uses the Javi sorry uses Javius's remains to create a new city where he brings in humanity to serve him. Javius is the giant eye thing. I don't know, it's I don't know how to explain him other than he's this all-seeing eye kind of monster. By this point, the endgame plot is unfolding. There's an interdimensional plot that involves brainwashing teenagers. There's a somewhat heartwarming story about two friends that have cared about themselves since they were kids. And I talked about them in an episode with Ben. It's the only episode I did with Ben where they were the Lenny and George equivalents. And they show back up, and they actually have a really sizable role in this particular series. The amount of footage that was pulled from this episode, I will admit, is minimal at best, and the mark Monster of the Week was just as remarkable in Japan as he was in this episode, which we will get to. I was honestly surprised that the footage of Darkonda speaking to Dark Specter in that room actually all American footage, because it looked like the Sentai version of Darkonda was speaking to someone in Mega Ranger, and they had superimposed Dark Specter's head over whatever villain was being cut out of the Power Ranger story. But to make a long story short, basically, because they're in high school, the episode revolves a bunch around like high school like things. And in Japan, one of the big things is entrance exams and passing and getting your diploma. And a lot of these characters just simply, at least three of the main ones, do not get a passing grade and they have to retake tests in order to graduate. The villain plot is to us that will take the students to this cram school that will instantly make them geniuses, right? It turns into this brainwashing scheme where there's like a new city where it's kind of like imagine something that like Dr. Doom would do if he hated kids. Ready? So to make a very long story short, the episode that is in question here doesn't really use Power Rangers doesn't use too much Sentai footage, and it revolves around a cram school and graduation and brainwashing and a city that's not unlike something Dr. Doom would have or Magneto. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Go check that out if you want. Honestly, Mega Ranger's growing on me as a series, but let's get back to Power Rangers. Going back to what led us here in the first place, what do you, Sasha, think of Dark Lictor? He shows up once before in TJ's Identity Crisis, and his I don't know, appearance here is seemingly even more short-lived than in that episode. I personally think the design is cool, and it's an intriguing concept to having two villains with completely different ideologies merging together, one against it way more than the other, mind you.
In theory, yes, but I hate Darkonda, so.
I do love me some Ecliptor.
Like, Ecliptor is like a really out. He really stands out this season in terms, because, like, we've talked about our villains over the years, and even with like Divatox, Ben, don't come at me. Just expect him. Like, Divatox's generals were forgettable. Like, Algar is only memorable because he's annoying.
I will say I do somewhat remember Porto.
That's fair. That's fair.
But it's mostly because of his voice. Yes, you know,
Very,
he's
very
silly.
nice impression. Yeah, so Ecliptor to me is a really standout general this season, and maybe just because he's utilized so well. I don't know. I feel like if they were gonna do something with it, it would be one thing, but since they didn't bother, I don't care.
Fair enough. I will add in a side note that I think Ecliptor is by far the best general that we've had so far. He blows Goldar out of the water.
Well, that's because Ecliptor. Yes,
Just in
Ecliptor
his
takes.
character.
Yeah, so like Ecliptor takes orders from Astronema, but Ecliptor also suggests strategy. He's not there just to say, oh, why don't you just throw a monster? Or, we need to destroy the Power Rangers. Like, he's memorable in the fact that he has a distinct personality, he has his own traits that are like he's a very three-dimensional figure, literally and figuratively here, because of the his design,
The wire, you know, the like Nintendo 64-esque
grid.
like wire model thing, yeah.
Yeah, so in that case, that makes him very memorable, and like he leads forces, he can really hold his own, and what really makes him stand out is that at the end of the day, Ecliptor's loyalty isn't to Dark Spectre, as we learn over the course of these, specifically these two episodes, I'd argue. It's to Astronema. And Ecliptor, although claims that he is pure evil, I don't know if, I mean, we find out whether the answer to that at the end of the season, but I don't think he was.
Me either. Please tell me you can't hear that in the background. Okay, cool. All right. So, question three. What do you think of Andros bringing Astronema on board the Astra Megaship so quickly? Is he too trusting of her, or are the Rangers being too cautious about this? I think this is a really tense situation with both sides having valid points about why they're acting the way they are. But I personally have to kind of side with the Rangers on this one. I want to hear your opinion on this, though.
The Rangers have a point because this is like if you bring in, this is like not to reference the pizza episode, but imagine if the Rangers found Divatox when she was pizzafied and they brought her to the command center. Like somebody would have a problem with that, right?
Yeah.
Up to this point, Astronema has been their number one enemy. She's the one that's like she's the bad guy. She's the one that's trying to take over the world, the galaxy, or whatever it is. So just because she's Andros's sister isn't really a good enough reason to invite her to the Batcave, you know?
Keep in mind, too, by the way, that like the evil League of Evil,
I feel like we should
literally
actually use the correct term, which is the United
United
Alliance of
Alliance
Evil.
of Evil. Yeah, my bad.
No,
Sorry.
I'm guilty of that too. I said it earlier this episode.
It's so easy to like joke around with that. But you know, you joke about that, or you talk about Astronema, you know, being having this kind of perception, but like. She's literally put on a pedestal by a strong by sorry by Dark Spectre. literally, like, harp on it too much, but Divatox beats the Power Rangers. The giant, like, Last Supper looking meal, and one picked to take out the Power Rangers. It's this new model, Astronema. She's literally put on a pedestal. She's talked about as like she is nothing but pure evil. So yeah, the Rangers absolutely have every reason to go, no, this is now.
Now, as an older sister, if I found out my long-lost baby brother, even though I think they were basically the same age, had turned evil but was actually my sibling, yeah, I have some mixed emotions about that. And of course, I'd want to reunite my family. So I, like you said, right, both sides have a valid reason for what they're doing, and neither is inherently wrong. The Rangers have absolutely no reason to trust Astronema. Not that she has any reason to trust the Rangers. And Andros is sort of stuck in this weird middle ground, but he also probably should have Wadir just a little bit more of like, okay, so will you, like, what does this mean for us now? So it's complicated.
It's very, and if I can add on, I am an older brother myself, so I completely get it. I would probably have very similar feelings about that as well.
But Andros,
So,
I take it back though. Andros does have a valid reason as to why he ultimately trusts Astronema enough to bring her to the ship. There's a monster that attacks Andros on KO35. And somehow, and this is really stupid, Andros's Morphergis literally knocked off his wrist. I don't know how that happened. I literally had to rewind it to try to understand because in one moment it's like perfectly clipped on his wrist. And the other, it just flies out at the monster, like hits him or something. Like, I guess the Velcro just wasn't up to snuff.
the best way I can describe it is he rolled a one on initiative.
There you go.
Like,
So Astronema actually at first watches as this monster is just like kicking Andros's butt, but he manages to hold his own. Well, not really. He gets his butt whooped, and then Astronema actually ends up taking the Morpher. And then you think she's just going to take it and go, but she actually gives it back to Andros. And then what I actually also really like about this entire sequence is we actually see, because we've joked, and I think every Power Ranger fan has joked of like, well, why doesn't the monster just attack while they're morphed? Because the morph itself on the outside takes seconds. Like a second, right? It's just like, let's rock it, and then floof, light, and then he's in, uniform. So it's cool to, I think we've seen it maybe once or twice, but I really like seeing it from the outside.
It's like the morph happens at light speed. Anyways, but yeah, that's why the monster is still in the same place.
Can I just say it's always fun when the answer to destroying a monster is to just shoot a rocket at him?
That's always fun. Now, I will say with to get too off topic, but I will say something that would have been kind of cool considering certain things that have happened later on in Power Rangers. It would have been kind of cool if Astronema proved herself to be a ranger. Yes, this would have been a little, you'd have to explain it narratively a little bit more, but instead she uses the morpher to morph and you realize, oh, she's got a link to the morphin grid too somehow, but why?
To that next season.
Anyways.
So yeah, I think this is the moment where she throws the Morpher back, where Andros is like, oh, maybe I can trust her. But also, I guess from Andros's perspective, what options does he have? Because he can't really let her go. Because where's she gonna go? She's gonna mope around the abandoned KO35, or go back to Ecliptor and the floating spaceship castle, whatever it's called. So he does. So I guess because long lost sibling, and he doesn't really want to let her go. The only option really is to just bring her with him.
My last question here actually kind of bleeds into this current question, because Astronema says that she knows where Zordon is and that she can take him them to her. Sorry, I wrote that wrong. Astronomer says that she knows where Zordon is and that she can take them to him. Given everything that has happened so far, again, if she showed up on your bridge and said that she knows where Zordon is, would you believe her?
So, no. Or at least I would say yes, but with suspicion, which is kind of where TJ is coming from. But what's interesting
Yes.
is, before we get to that, so the you have your typical monster fight, the Rangers destroy the monster. Astronema, at the beginning of this episode, Astronema is conflicted. She, like, there's this conversation that her and Ecliptor have back at the castle where she doesn't know if she's good or evil. And Ecliptor's like, well, I'm a being of pure evil, born and made that way. And, but you were like, you were made evil because you're human, I guess. I don't know. So she was raised in evil from the tender age of 5. So she's having a lot of conflicting emotions. And I think this is where you have her, like, first letting the monster pummel Andros, then throwing his morpher back. But then she goes to talk to Dark Spectre. But Dark Spectre also says something along the lines of basically that the revelation that her and Andros are siblings doesn't change her future.
Yeah.
Which is really, really interesting. And it's definitely foreshadowing. But Astronema claims that she will not waver and that she needs to destroy Andros. Basically, Dark Spectre's like, well, now's the time to prove your loyalty, girl. So
Right.
looking at this from where we are, I think the audience is meant to distrust Astronema. We are meant to be on the side of their other Rangers.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too, because there is a point in this episode where Andros and Astronema are having a discussion, and the conversation basically is like, hey, you remember where you are, right? I don't know who I am right now. And sorry, you remember who you are, don't you? She says, I don't know who I am right now. He says, we were just children and we dreamed of being Power Rangers. You never wanted to be Astronema. They forced that onto you. So it's like,
foreshadow.
Yeah. There's a lot of really interesting meat and potatoes in this episode. And the fact that we end on that cliffhanger is really nice. And it leads us right into our next episode.
I do have one last note about this episode is
Absolutely.
this is a this th while we do have like an Andros focus in here as well, the main focus of this episode really is Astronema and all of the internal conflict that she's having and a little bit of the politics of the United Alliance of Evil. But it's really about Astronema, and we are still referring to her as Astronema here. And that's important, right? Because as we head into the next episode, it's like a zigzag.
Yeah, as of right now, the only person calling Astronema Caron is Andros.
He's biased.
I mean, of course. Let's go ahead and start talking about episode 28 of In Space, The Ranger's Leap of Faith, which is the third of the five-part story arc involving Astronema. And the synopsis goes, Astronema leads the Power Rangers to the planet where Zordon is being held captive, as proof that she has chosen to give up her life of evil. But the Rangers, aside from Andros, have serious doubts about her honesty. Their suspicions seem to be vindicated when it all turns out to be a trap by Dark Spectre to capture the Rangers, but Astronema saves them. Now, question one. We talked about this a little bit. The Earth Rangers are obviously on high guard with Astronema on the ship, and Andros is stuck between needing to find Zordon, having found his sister, who he says he trusts, but is also cautious of as well. Given the events of this episode, what do you think of all the mind games happening here? And how do you view this situation as a whole in the shoes of somebody like TJ versus the shoes of Andros?
Oh, this is brilliant. It makes the audience question things just as the Rangers are questioning it. Because we know, the audience knows that Dark Spectre told Astronema that she needs to prove her loyalty. So then suddenly her and Andros have like one conversation and she's on the ship telling them to find Zordon. Suspicious. But then you have the scene that follows this, and they basically reuse the exact same scene from the ending of the first episode to the beginning of the next one. So TJ, like, If I'm the other Rangers, I am confused by all of this and I don't trust Astronema because she hasn't really given them a reason to trust her. Her knowing where Zordon is doesn't mean much if she's leading them into a trap.
Exactly.
But at this point, I do have to wonder because of how the episode ends, what was the did Astronema not realize that this was a trap herself though?
That, I mean, honestly, just based on watching these two episodes alone and not having gone forward, I feel like that's maybe meant to be up in the air. Because it does feel like, hey, I know where Zordon is, which, by the way, again, the Rangers not trusting her because, hey, I know where Zordon is. They're like, yeah, of course you know where he is. You're the one that put him there, or at least helped put him there. But,
How do they know that? Like, is it, I mean, yeah, she's part of the United Alliance of Evil, but it's not like she's the one that kidnapped Zordon.
no, but she's certainly either, if she didn't help out like first person, then she at the very least is aligned with the people who did.
Fair enough.
And that conversation very easily could have been brought up. So, question two, the animosity between Darkonda and Ecliptor seems to be reaching a boiling point in this episode, with the both of them having sworn an allegiance to Dark Specter, yet both again wanting very different things and butting heads because of it. What do you think of how this conflict is continuing to proceed, and how Ecliptor, despite everything around him going to hell, still protects Astronema even when she's siding with the Rangers? Also, as a side question, do you think that he suspects she's playing a long game with the Rangers and is planning to do a double cross?
Honestly, I think at this point, I don't know, because I'm really trying to just go off these two episodes, but we know that Ecliptor's, like I said earlier, Ecliptor's first loyalty is to Astronema. So he also, in the episode where they have a heart-to-heart, he views Astronema as a daughter, and he doesn't tell her she has to be evil. He could have. He's evil. He's supposed to tell her to pick a side.
Right.
But he doesn't. So I think in the back of his mind, I think Ecliptor, I don't know how consciously this is, but I do think he knows that Astronema is ultimately switching sides. It's also why we get to th we with the thing affects both of them and not just Astronema.
Right.
But we're not there yet.
No,
And
we're not.
I don't know. I don't think I'm on those episodes, but the point is that these two characters are linked, and ultimately they love and support each other. And like it's the Darkonda fight, honestly, I think Darkonda wants to be, I think initially Darkonda wants to be Astronema's right-hand man. But then he realizes, like, wait a minute. Astronema's like number two. I want to be number two. But in order to be number two, I got to get rid of these two. So Darkonda really, I think his first step was to, like, this is his, I think his plan. Destroy Ecliptor, destroy Astronema, become the next Astronema, and like, Dark Spectre's new BFF. But Dark Spectre doesn't really like him anyway.
So yeah, I mean, it's the villain dynamics in this episode, not even this episode, just this season, are such a breath of fresh air.
Definitely. Are we ready to talk about when they actually get to Zordon, or do you have a question before that?
Sure. Question is, okay, well, you know what? Let's talk about Zordon and when they get to him. But my question for you is this, and then we can kind of backtrack a little bit and talk more because there is a lot to go over here. But why would Dark Specter leave when the show was about to begin and he was going to witness firsthand the destruction of the Power Rangers? Why does he pull a Dr. Evil and not pay attention to what's actually happening, being rest assured that they've actually been taken care of? I can relate with Scott Evil so much right now watching that scene.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch what the question was.
Why would Dark Specter leave when they're about to take care of the Power Rangers?
Because Dark Spectre is very confident in Astronema's loyalty. There's towards the end of the episode, Darkonda has a conversation with Dark Spectre, and Dark Spectre is basically like, okay, fine, you can lead the Dark Fortress, but only while Astronema's like off like doing this thing, because Astronema will be back. And
Right.
Dark Spectre is very sure of this. So either he has a plan to ensure that her loyalties never waver, and we see the beginning and hinting of that as they take Ecliptor away. Right? So he has a plan to ensure that she's never going to be anything except evil. So the question, so like, you know, watching this as an adult, you're like, wow, this is like some real planting seeds of what's going to come to fruition later.
Yeah.
So I think at first it doesn't make sense that Dark Spectre leaves, but we also haven't really gotten to the part of why Dark Spectre is there or how he is.
Right.
Because, go
No, we can
ahead.
talk about that. Sorry, we can talk about that. Yeah.
Because
The floor is
they
yours.
get, so the Rangers basically, so the whole thing, right, is that like Astronema pretends that she captured the Rangers, blah, blah, blah. TJ's like, no, something's funny here. Like, this is just a little too sus. We're out of here. So he deviates and they crash because he gets hit by lightning. And props to them for remembering that the Piranatrons are a thing too, and they're the ones like protecting Zordon. So it actually gives some validity to the audience that, oh, we're actually about to find Zordon. So Astronema escapes, but then she like gets Andros, and then they go to Zordon, leaving the other Rangers to, I guess, hold off the Quantrons and the Piranatrons. It's Astronema. And so they get there, and Andros's like, oh my God, Zordon, it's you. And Zordon is like, wow, Andros, I can't believe you're so stupid you fell for this. It's like, oh, what was that movie? Oh, there's like a
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but like, isn't it like that scene in Frozen where it's just
not qu oh yeah, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. Oh, it's in Spaceballs. When Dark Helmet and Lone Star are fighting, and he's like, "Oh, let's shake on it." It's like, "Yeah, let's shake on it." And then Lord Helmet takes the ring. He's like, "You boob! I can't believe you fell for that. Like, what's with you, man?" This is basically the Power Ranger equivalent of that scene, because you're like the audience. You're like, "Oh my God, it's Zord." Wait, what? Zordon is a jerk, which like we knew, but like, oh, this is Dark Spectre. And so now we kind of understand that what is happening. So you're torn. It's constantly like, oh, Astronema's a good guy. Oh no, Astronema's a bad guy. Oh no, Astronema's a good guy. Oh no, wait, Astronema's a bad guy again. And this keeps going through the entire episode.
which is really, really interesting. And like, until you realize that Astronema was not in the know about this either, you know, to go back to Spaceballs, you know, you could link Astronema to, I can't remember his name, but like just that scene where he's like, would I lie? You know, and
But it could work either way, because it goes back to, I think the audience is supposed to be as conflicted as Astronema is. So she's proving her loyalty. I wonder if part of it is, yes, she wants to prove her loyalty to Dark Spectre, but also she wants to spend more time with her brother and prove that she's a good guy or something like that. So the reveal and the fact that it's all a trap, actually, I think Astronema knew, because to some extent, maybe not exact, maybe not the I don't know. Because there's a case to be made for either or, but I think ultimately her test was about ending the Power Rangers. So maybe the whole thing with Zordon was a setup, but then with the Rangers actually in trouble and Andros about to almost die again, she's like, no, wait, my loyalty is to my brother.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
My next question when I wrote this, it might not have been, considering the context, might not have been written the right way. So like I can try and work this. But I wrote after everything that happened and Astronema's on the ship, and the Ecliptor is, down for the count. Why, after all those events, is Dark Specter not putting a bounty out on Astronomer and Ecliptor right this very moment?
Well, he has Ecliptor.
Well, yeah, he has Ecliptor. Well, I added here, at the very least, shouldn't Ecliptor be in a dungeon right now? And why also does Dark Specter say that he has plans for them and it will never stray again? He's pretty laissez-faire about a lot of things for being the big bad, like, enemy of the Zordon era.
So, on the Ecliptor side of things, Ecliptor gets injured by Darkonda. So when he basically like saves Astronema, he's okay, but you can tell he's injured. In the scene where Darkonda is talking to Dark Spectre, God, that's a lot of dark. The use of the word dark too many times. Darkonda, Dark Spectre. So Darkonda is essentially there right next to Ecliptor. And Dark Spectre, like you see Ecliptor being like basically carried away. And Darkondas, I think, says something like, "Oh, I'm not finished with you," or like, "I can't wait to get started." So you can tell that there's something brewing here. Dark Spectre is playing a long game, and I don't think he thinks that he needs to do anything. A, because the United Alliance of Evil is in constant conflict with the Rangers anyway. And with Astronema on the ship, it's not like he can't get her if he wants to.
Right. Meanwhile, also Ecliptor's whole train of thought here at the end of all this is that Ecliptor is a traitor and he's blaming him for only having four lives left now.
Yeah, because Ecliptor killed him at least once, which,
Yeah.
yay! But then, so at first I was like, yay, he's dead! And then I was like, oh, wait, it's that stupid plot with him having multiple lives for reasons of plot convenience.
I guess Darkonda's part cat, maybe? I don't know.
He's part something, but I'm not allowed to say it in front on a children's podcast. Or a children-friendly podcast, even though the line is very thin.
Very, extremely microscopic, if you will. So at the end of the episode, we see that Astronema is part of the crew and team, at least supposedly. Where do you think the Rangers should go from here? Their strongest lead on Zordon wound up being a trap, and Dark Spectre is on their trail. What, given no other future sight or whatever, do you think the Rangers should do from here first? What should be their first priority?
So it's funny enough, I really don't remember where they go from here. I know how this arc ends, astronomer-wise. But at
Right.
this point, I'm thinking maybe they should go back to Earth and regroup and figure out next steps. Or wait for Dark Spectre's next move. Or they'll
Fair
go
enough.
back to the abandoned KO-35, which seems perfectly intact.
And has that Bass Pro Shop glass pyramid in there for some reason. Do you have any other thoughts on this episode by chance?
You know, these two episodes together blend perfectly. Like I said, they reuse the same scene at the beginning of this episode that came at the end of the previous one. And there is one scene I really like. It's at the beginning of the episode because the only way the Rangers agree to let Astronema stay on the ship is if she's like
Chained
contained.
up.
Right, which I guess the ship doesn't have a brig, which would have been perfect to build like a little set, but I understand this is the last season, budget was limited. So she's just like chained to a radiator, basically.
She's like chained up next to like the, where they put the dilithium crystals or something,
Yeah, not even chained up, just handcuffed. And so her and Andros actually have like a really nice bonding moment where they talk about like their parents. And, Corone asks if they're alive. And I guess I even had to put on subtitles because I couldn't quite make
I
it
did
out.
too. I did too. And I think it was something along the lines of like he doesn't know.
Yeah, that was the implication I got, that he doesn't know, but he kind of hopes that they escaped with everybody else when everybody just abandoned KO-35.
Yeah, because like the way he says it, it sounds like he hopes they escaped, before the war broke out. And the fact that he doesn't know and the fact that that was like at least they talk about it, it was so like abrupt and chaotic. It is really heartbreaking.
Yeah, really. Like you go to your home and it's abandoned, and this is the only thing. This is the only place where you have any memories of your childhood before you were kidnapped and turned evil. The other note that I have about this episode is actually about one of the MVPs, which is TJ. I love TJ in this episode, and Cassie too, actually, because she's like, yeah, no, we're not trusting Astronema. Like, what is wrong with you? But TJ really, like, I love seeing TJ really take charge, and he's the one shouting orders and telling them how to land the ship. So I love that, you know, I love seeing our Earthbound Rangers who were like, you know, not cool enough to go on the spaceship now being like pros. And at the end of this episode, this is the Rangers actually apologize to Astronema, which they honestly really didn't need to do because they were kind of perfectly justified. But fine, they're like, we're sorry we were mean to you, even though you're an evil dictatoress in training. It's fine.
Like the Rangers were they had every right to believe that was a trap and say, I told you so, but you know, the reason why they're apologizing is because they were like, okay, you know what? You saved our butts out there.
I
Even
mean, the
though.
end, the ending, just like a little cliche there, but again, like it's Power Rangers, you know. But it's just really funny because it basically ends up just giving this like, well, we're sorry, and we totally want you to be our friend now.
It's like the way I wrote it, I wrote a little paragraph here just for context here. Astronema and Andros go to the other Rangers, who then apologize to Astronema. She says that she doesn't expect them to like her and that she's never had a friend, nor that she's ever deserved one. She says that she just hopes that one day they believe that she doesn't want to hurt them. The Rangers tell her that they believe her and they have that now she has five friends, deserving each one. She smiles. Alpha, you know, basically says, you know, in so many words that it's a Kodak moment. And then we get a preview of the next episode, which, yeah.
There was also a really cute moment where when they're about to go to the sh they're, when they're about to like enter the planet and get the coordinates and everything, Astronema makes the other Rangers pretend that she's captured them. And she calls over Alpha. And there's actually a really cute moment where he's like, well, you may call me Alpha 5. And she's like, do this and this and this. And he walks away and he's like, please wouldn't kill you. And she says, please, Alpha. So it was actually a very nice, very minor moment that I think maybe clued the Rangers in a little bit because they were within earshot of like, okay, fine. But also, like, all due respect to our very loving and very trusting Rangers, I would not just want to be friends with the person that was trying to murder them and take over the planet just because she did one nice thing for them.
I completely agree.
Like, I like Astronema. I love this arc. I ultimately know how it ends. So, like, I get it. But if I was in the shoes of Cassie or Ashley or TJ or Carlos, I would be like, okay, well, you get a point, but you still have a whole bunch of stuff to make up for.
Oh yeah. It absolutely she's got so many things I feel like that she needs to like kind of clear her name with, and it's yeah, I completely agree with you because it's like, yeah, you saved our butts, but also you've been giving us hell for like the last many episodes, so.
But also, it's really interesting that we have this duality. And it's not just that Astronema is conflicted. She doesn't know if she's Astronema or Corone, and they make that difference. Because to Andros, she's Corone already because he found her. That's his sister. It doesn't matter what she does now, which is honestly kind of adorable. But this is a guy who basically spent his entire life, adult life, like as a ranger, like trying to find a sister. So I get it.
It's been his whole like modus operandi.
And I think it also helps the fact that Andros knew her before she was Astronema. And so you have the two camps. You have Ecliptor and Dark Spectre. Well, mostly Ecliptor, I would say, right? Pulling her towards evil and like, look, I'm your dad. I raised you. You're my daughter. And then you have Andros going, you're my sister. We're family. And so the moment where they start talking about her parents, and you actually see the way, and I don't know if it was the makeup or just the facial expressions of the actress, or maybe a combination of the two, but you s can see the way her gaze softens over the course when she's in these moments. And I know Ben joked probably multiple times by now about like Astronema chewing the scenery, But you see that she's kind of more reserved. And so I think those are like it works well to paint her as a redeemable villain, because we haven't really had that yet. In Power Rangers at this point, we've had all very clear, with the exception of like Tommy, but Tommy was a, you know, that he had his like Green Ranger arc. He wasn't a main bad guy. He was just a temporary bad guy in the moment, in the space of episodes. He's not in charge. Astronema, by all accounts, not including Dark Spectre, is in charge. So see our main antagonist actually, you know, leaving the dark side, because I know some of the cast has talked about how this is more Star Wars than Star Trek. I still fight on this. I think it's both.
I do too.
It's like the story itself has very Star Wars vibes, but the tech is very Star Trek. So like, meh. Where was I going with this point?
Astronomers. It's been a lot.
Redeemable villain. Oh yeah, so
Yes.
she's leaving, she's being pulled from the dark side. That was the
So
joke.
it.
There you go.
It's like, yeah, it's like Luke trying to turn Vader back because it's like there's still good in you.
Wait, does this mean that wait, who's Vader here? Eclipter or Dark Spectre? No, Eclipter is Vader and Dark Spectre is Palpatine.
I guess so, but then like isn't a oh my God. Well, wait, how would a Okay, fair enough. Well, I feel like Astronomer, you know, being a kid and like being turned to the dark side and then being turned back again, that's Anakin and Vader's story. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
yeah.
That's the whole, you know, through line of Anakin Skywalker's life. So I feel like Ecliptor is more like if Ben Kenobi was part of the dark side, but then was like, no, actually, no, I don't like those dudes. And Dark Spectre is absolutely Palpatine.
Fair point.
And Luke, even though, sorry, Andros, even though like him and Carone are twins, he's got to be more like the Luke character who's like, no, there's still good in you. I'm gonna, you know, save you. So that's my two cents on that.
No, I think you're spot on.
Well, thank you.
But either way, like it's a, you know, we don't have to dwell too much on it, because at the end of the day, it's not like it's a, it's not, it's taking elements from those franchises and making it their own thing. So they're not perfect comparisons by any means, and they know from the get-go that they're siblings. So we're good there. So yeah, it's an interesting two episodes that really continue, because we really get to know Astronema in a way that, like, we also did this with Divatox, right? We learned about Divatox being adopted and that she has a brother who's like a successful general who couldn't go toe to toe with Power Rangers, but it's fine. But here, like, Astronema's being fleshed out more, and she has like a whole backstory that's getting a lot of attention. So it's really interesting to watch.
I completely agree. And like, there's still plenty of story left to go here. And yeah, I think at this point, watching in space, if you're not hooked by this point, then I don't know what to tell you. And had I been watching this as a kid, I would have stayed a Power Rangers fan because this is fantastic stuff.
I think that's a
And that's
great note to end the episode on.
all right. I completely agree with you. So let's start wrapping things up. Sasha, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
What's that? Never heard of it. All right, you can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky, woohoo, at the Jewish Comics Queen. All things comics, all things nerddom, me complaining about Jewish representation.
Awesome. As for myself, you can find me online with the Castwave Studios crew over at castwavestudios.com, doing the Two Fat Guys Eat show. We just did a episode about Christmas trees, which dates this episode, unfortunately. You can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. You can find me on TikTok at BlueRangerB_Rye. And You can also find me at Wondering Geek on Twitter and also on Blue Sky. And as for this show, you can find this show at. Sorry, time out. As for this show, you can follow us on Twitter and on Blue Sky at VFTG underscore PR. You can listen to this show on Spotify, and we're also on YouTube. Just look up youtube.com/@x75productions, and you'll find us there. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. We don't have a. Oh my God. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, spending an hour with us, and giving us your time. And until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your Astromorphers and press 335.
And may the power protect you. That